Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Leviticus, chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. Listen as I read the word of the Lord. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they drew near before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron your brother not to come at any time in the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat that is on the ark, so that he may not die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. But in this way Aaron shall come into the holy place with a bull from the herd for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen undergarment on his body, and he shall tie the linen sash around his waist and wear the linen turban. These are the holy garments. He shall bathe his body in water and then put them on, and he shall take from the congregation of the people of Israel two male goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering." And then we would turn over to the New Testament reading in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to our confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the truth of your word that is indeed the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever. I pray this morning that your spirit would apply your word to our hearts, that we may be stirred up to love and good works. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There is no doubt that the world that we live in is a volatile place. Despite our best efforts trying to keep things in order, trying to keep the mundane pieces of our life in order, trying to keep the long-term plans that we set in order, trying to make sense and order our past, our lives are nevertheless filled with sweeping uncertainty. I mean, who would have guessed that even just a few weeks ago that we would be isolated in our home, not able to gather together for worship this morning except through virtual means, schools canceled, restaurants closed, jobs laying people off, as our nation and even the world tries to stem the spread of this coronavirus. Now, this virus itself doesn't bring uncertainty into our life. That uncertainty, that volatility has always been there. This virus just seems to have magnified our perception of what already is our reality. And to uncertainty, we respond in different ways, don't we? Sometimes it is with a hesitancy, and others it's with a panic. Sometimes it's about building walls up around ourselves to isolate and insulate. Other times it's quivering, exposed, and vulnerable. Sometimes it's responding in fear, and other times, gritting your teeth to press through. And in all these responses, there's one thing that is in common, and that is That is, we long for certainty. And it's this very reason that I turn our attention to Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. The book of Hebrews has many themes. One of them is the superiority of Jesus Christ as the fulfillment, that is, as the answer to all the promises that God has made to us, his people. That God has made from the dawn of time, the promises to forgive and bless, the promises to provide a rescuer for the lost, the promises to give us hope and peace, the promise of Jesus Christ. And as with any promise, the question is, can or will this promise be kept? Is its fulfillment certain, or is it yet another one of those uncertain things that assault us from all directions? The answer in the case of any promise that God makes to the question of can it be kept or will it be kept is a resounding yes. God is infinite, God is eternal, God is unchangeable. He cannot, he will not break his word. God has spoken most certainly to us in Jesus Christ. We see in the pages of Scripture how Jesus Christ has come and in his life, in his work, fulfilled the promises that God has made, the promises of life and peace given to us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. The first part of our passage this morning, verses 9 through 21, begin with the beautiful, deep, and rich truth of the good news of Jesus Christ as it opens up, as it explains and connects the fulfillment with the promise, as it shows the cross in context of the sacrificial system that God instituted in the Old Testament. That system, as we read a little bit about at the very beginning of Leviticus 16, a system of sacrifice was given to remind the people of the seriousness of sin, of the consequence of death, the necessity of death, and for all who sin again and rebel against God, but also for the promise and hope of forgiveness in life. And of course, point forward to that promise of the one who would come, bringing an end to this bloody ritual, because he himself is the final sacrifice, the righteous for the unrighteous, the living becoming obedient unto death, that the dead might have life. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain, that is, through the flesh, through his own flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God. Do you feel the sense of anticipation, that almost building of tension, a statement upon statement, layers upon each other? Since we have confidence, since we have a great high priest, because of this truth, because of this reality, because of all this that belongs to you in Christ Jesus, therefore, we have a deep and abiding confidence, even in the midst of complete uncertainty. Confidence of a certainty that is unbreakable, because it is from God to us in Christ Jesus. It is this certain reality that forms the foundation that defines and drives and even deploys the robust application that we see in the second half of our passage, verses 22 to 25. In this passage, we see the three commands that I think, are aptly summarized by Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love. In other words, because we have confidence in the work of Christ, let us draw near to God by faith. Because we have confidence in the work of Christ, let us hold fast to the hope in Christ that is ours. Because we have confidence in the work of Christ, let us stir up one another to love and good works. Let's take a few moments to look at each of these applications, the faith, hope, and love that are we called to in these verses. First, we have confidence, or because we have confidence in the work of Christ, let us draw near to God by faith. If we were to look back and read more of that passage in Leviticus 16, we would see the stringent code that God had established for the priests offering sacrifices into the Holy of Holy, that inner chamber of the tabernacle where God dwelt among his people, where his glory dwelt in a cloud. It was separated from the rest of the tent of worship, from the rest of the people, by this thick curtain that hung. Separated because his holiness and his glory would consume a sinful people. In order to enter the Holy of Holies, the priest would have had to cleanse himself. The sacrifices would have to be slaughtered. And only then, following this strict code, could the high priest alone enter the Holy of Holies. Only he could draw near to the very presence of God. And only then, with great fear and trepidation, indeed with even blood on his hands, for the sins of the people for whom he made intercession. But Christ as the fulfillment of God's promise, that once for all final sacrifice, that moment of his death on the cross, when we read in Matthew 27 that the curtains of the temple were torn in two from top to bottom. We see this picture of Jesus, our high priest, entering into the Holy of Holies, offering not bulls and goats and rams for sacrifice, but offering himself, his very body, his very life, his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, rending that curtain so that all who are covered by the blood of Christ may enter into the presence of God. And so we read in verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart for the assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now pause here for a moment. Pause here and consider what we are being told. Pause here for a moment and think about what it means for us to stand in the presence of our holy God. You see, because we belong to Christ, because we are his chosen people, holy and dearly loved, bought with a price, because God showed his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have been justified by the blood of Christ, we are no longer outsiders looking in. We do not stand at a distance, gazing over the fence, peering, hoping for a glimpse of the glory of God as an outsider. We're not trying to peek around a curtain. But instead, we are invited in, not with fear, but with full confidence, We are invited in to enter into the presence of God, to draw near to Him, to be close to Him, to commune with Him, to have the comfort that He gives us. God with us in Christ Jesus, God in us by His Spirit. Pause and consider what it means that we enter the presence of God, not consumed by His wrath towards sin, but enveloped in His grace and His mercy and His peace. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of our faith. What greater promise, what greater certainty can you imagine that God Himself welcomes you? Welcomes you who were His enemy as His friend, and not just His friend, but His sons and daughters, His people. And we can draw near with that confidence that comes in full assurance of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, who has washed us clean by His blood. So that even when your faith is frail, when your confidence is uncertain, Christ is yours, yesterday, today, and forever. Dear friends, draw near to God in full confidence of faith, having been washed by His blood and presented by the promise of Jesus Christ. This call to draw near to God has an upward calling for us, a calling that turns our thoughts and our lives towards God. But there's also an inward calling that our passage this morning reveals to us and calls us to. It's an inward calling to a perseverance with hope, because we have hope, because we have confidence in the work of Christ. Let us hold fast to our hope in Christ. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Week after week during our worship, and no different today, though we are not in the same room together, we make a public confession of faith. Oftentimes we use the summaries of the faith in the Apostles' Creed or in the Nicene Creed. This morning we did so using those beautiful words from the Heidelberg Catechism. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but I belong body and soul and life and death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. What does it mean to hold fast to our confession of our hope? I think it means this. I think it means that we are able to stand confidently and publicly proclaim the truth of the gospel, the reality of your only hope in life and death, that we can make a public confession of Jesus Christ before the watching world. It is this unchanging reality, namely that we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, that gives us our confidence, that we can hold fast to that truth without wavering. It is the hope that unites us together as God's people. It's far more than mere mental assent or merely the words flowing from our lips. But it changes us from the outside in as we confess those words, and it changes our hearts and minds as we conform to the truth by the Spirit of God at work in us, so that we are reminded in a life of uncertainty that Christ preserves us in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not even a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for good. That is the good of my salvation. Confessing our faith, holding fast to the confession of our hope, is holding fast to Christ and his promises. This is the foundation of certainty upon which you stand. And further, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. As we've been considering over the past few weeks, as we've looked at 1 Timothy, as we contend for the truth, let us consider what it looks like in a world gone mad with false news and deep fakes, that we contend for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, holding fast to the genuine truth of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope in a selfish world filled with fear, as we contend for the truth of peace and grace to you from Jesus Christ. And in a world of volatility and uncertainty, contend for the truth of hope, that which is certain, that which is the anchor to your faith, Jesus Christ. How can we do this? Why? Because he who promised is faithful. Aren't those glorious words? That he who promised is faithful. His promise is sure, and its fulfillment is certain. That when your faith is weak, when you feel at your worst faithless moment, you can hold fast to the confession of your hope, because he is faithful without end. Brothers and sisters, dear friends, what happens today or tomorrow, whatever it may be, whatever it looks like, God is faithful. Your God is faithful. Hold fast, because he will never let you go. God will accomplish his purposes. Realize that when God makes a promise, not only does he promise, but he is able, he is powerful to keep and fulfill his word. There's nothing in life that can thwart the good purpose of God at work in you. And indeed, that work is good. There's no virus, there's no hardship, there's no uncertainty that can usurp God's sovereign rule over his creation. There's nothing that can alter his love and care for you, his precious child. Hold fast, my friends. Hold fast the confession of your faith, because he who promised is faithful. We've seen that upward look of our faith and that inward look of our hope. But finally, in verse 24, we come to that outward expression of love and good works. Because we have confidence in the work of Christ Jesus, let us stir up one another to love and good works. Our calling is in Christ Jesus. And that calling has radical implications for our life here and now, in this moment, in this world. In this moment when uncertainty seems to have magnified its grip on our life, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You see, in these concluding verses of our passage, we see that third piece, the faith, hope, and love to which we are called. The love that works out as we care and love one another, as we stir up each other to good works and love, as we point one another to Christ. I find it fascinating and deeply encouraging that the one application of this that Hebrews gives us is that we are not to neglect to meet together as is the habit of some. Indeed, and today, some may say that we are not meeting together as we are not in that same room. But we are called to regularly come together, to gather for worship and fellowship. This day must be the central activity for God's people, around which all of our life revolves. The Lord's Day, Sunday worship, must be the anticipation of the days ahead, as well as the reflection back as you press forward. It reminds us of the certain, unbreakable promises of God in Christ Jesus. God Himself, in the moment of worship, reminds us as He is at work in us. It reminds us of the gospel truth of faith, hope, and love that are gifts to us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, Paul tells us, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not your own doing, but it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created for God in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Dear friends, over these weeks ahead, stirring one another up to love and good works is going to look differently and unexpected from what we may have mapped out in our lives. But let me encourage you to not neglect the care for one another. Even as simple as a phone call speaks volumes when people are separated and isolated. Both those who are regular friends and worshipers with us, but as well those who may not have a home church, those who are stuck, not able to get out, those who are living in fear because they don't have the hope and promise and comfort of Christ Jesus ruling in their life. Brothers and sisters, I look forward to the day where we can once again gather together for worship in person, where shaking hands and giving hugs and sharing food is the normal thing once again, the normal activity of fellowship of God's people, where we can sing together in worship of God, His praises, our voices blending together. But until that day, God is still faithful. And we can have confidence and certainty in this life to draw near to God in faith, to hold fast to our faith in Christ Jesus, and to stir up one another to love and good works. As we prepare to sing our final hymn together, this hymn, "Lead On, O King Eternal," I'm reminded of these words in the third verse where it says, "Lead on, O King Eternal, we follow not with fears." And why is it that we don't follow with fears? For gladness breaks like mourning when your face, when the face of Christ appears, when you draw near to that presence of God. His cross is lifted over us. We journey not in the darkness of fear, not in the darkness of sin, not in the darkness of this world, but we journey in the light of Christ. And indeed, until that day of his glorious return, when he as king comes in full glory and power to claim his own, the crown awaits the conquest. Lead on, O God of might. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the grace, mercy, and peace that we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the faith, hope, and love that you have given to us with confidence in Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, I pray this morning that that the gospel would be real in our hearts, that we would draw near to you in faith that you have given us, that we would hold fast to the confession of our hope, unwavering, unafraid to bring that same hope to bear on those who are hopeless, and that we would stir up one another to love and good works as we continue to meet, for your promise is that you will build your church and not even the gates of hell will stand against it. We thank you in the name of Christ Jesus, our faithful Savior, to whom we belong body and soul. In his name we pray. Amen.